I desire to eat this Passover with you. In other words, he said, I've been looking forward to sitting down to eat with you. And then he, in John chapters 14 through 16, oh, what he talked to them of. Glory. I remember saying Wednesday night, I wish it were Sunday. Well, here it is. And I hope you'll go away filled. You know, if you're hungry, you will. Depends on how hungry you are, is how good the food is. You know that? There have been times when my wife fixed something for me, and it's something she'd fixed before many times, and I said, that's the best thing I've ever put in my mouth. She'd say, you're just hungry. That's right. That's right. Let me ask you again, why do we study these Old Testament types? Why do we study them? Well, number one, it's God's Word. It's God's Word. That's why. And all Scriptures are given, aren't they? All Scriptures are given. Profitable. Number two, it reveals the true Christ. These Old Testament types reveal the true Christ. And now, because there's so many false notions of Christ, this is needed now more than ever, isn't it? Huh? To show us, hey, that Jesus is the same Lord, same God. God that reigns now is the same one of the Old Testament. There's so many false notions. So now more than ever, we need to go back to the old paths. Another thing, to strengthen faith. And I mean this when I say this, that when I hear these old types, and I've heard many, every time I hear them, it doesn't matter which one it is, and there are many that I haven't heard, of course. But every time I hear one, my faith is strengthened. I say, this is God's Word, that He is the Christ, this is the gospel. I believe now I'm more fully persuaded than ever. Do you? Because it's so, John, it's so marvelous. So marvelously put together. So clearly speaks of Christ. You have to say, God did this, didn't it? You understand what I'm saying, Jenny? Is that the way you feel? You say, this is of God. Another reason why we preach the old types is because the world is not. And they're missing Christ. And again, I say that this was the only Bible that our Lord preached from. The only Scriptures that the apostles had. You don't need any more. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. There's enough there. All right, now, our Lord said this. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, the Scriptures are they which testify of me. What Scripture? He's talking about Moses and the prophets and Psalms. He said, they are they which testify of me. You know, some of those Pharisees said, well, we like Moses' law. He says, Moses wrote of me. Our Lord said, Moses, first five books of the Bible, wrote of me. That's what Moses was writing about. Me, Christ said. Well, here we are in Genesis, first book. What's it about? Christ. You see, every person, every principal person in Scripture
is a picture of Christ. From the first man, Adam. And go on, Abel. Keep going. Noah. His very name means he'll give us rest. Abraham.
Moses.
David. Solomon. All the principal characters in the Scriptures are pictures of Christ. That's why they lived. That's why their stories are written. To show us who Christ is. All these things. Now, there's one fella in the book of Genesis who's mentioned more than any other. In the book of Genesis, one principal person, there's more chapters devoted to him, his life, than any other. Joseph. I told your Joseph. I said, I know somebody in here better listen better than anybody today. Joseph, I'm going to be calling your name the whole time. Joseph. Joseph. He's mentioned more than any other. And you know, in this story, we're going to do several messages on Joseph. I envy someone who's never heard this before. But then again, maybe I'll hear it like I've never heard it before. There's no, in the story of Joseph, there's no, it seems like Joseph has no flaw. He's only one of a couple of persons in the Hall of Scripture where it doesn't say anything negative about him. And that's by design, isn't it? Huh? Because Joseph more clearly represents Christ than anyone I know in the Scripture. I hope we'll see that. Now, no doubt, the story of Joseph is the history of the Jews. Yes, you can trace everything concerning the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. You can trace it all back to Joseph, all the where they are now, where they're actually situated, and all is transpired. Trace it back to Joseph. But now Joseph lived. His whole life was to testify of Jesus Christ. His whole life. The very reason for his existence in history is his story. His story. This is the story of today, the beloved son. The beloved son. Now, it got a smile from somebody. This is the story. The beginning of the story is of the father's love for his beloved son more than any other. I'm already having a good time. All right, verse 1, chapter 37, verse 1. May the Lord arrest your heart right now. Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger. God's a stranger to this earth, isn't he? He made it, but he's a stranger. Well, Jacob, these sons of Jacob, dwell in the land of Canaan. Now, verse 2, these are the generations of Jacob. These are the generations of Jacob. You remember the story of Jacob, don't you? We just studied. Jacob represents every sinner. God's the God of Jacob. And every single one of his people are called sons of Jacob. All right? Jacob dwelled in the land. Father was a stranger. This is the generations of Jacob. There's the seed of Jacob. Here's all of Jacob's offspring. Verse 2. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. It mentions one name. These are the generations of Jacob. Here are the sons of Jacob. Here is the offspring of Jacob, Joseph. And doesn't mention anybody. Doesn't say Zebulun, doesn't say Issachar, doesn't say Dan, doesn't say Judah, doesn't say Levi, doesn't say... Here it is. Joseph was feeding his sheep. Joseph. Look with me quickly. Now, we're going to turn back and forth a little bit. That the Scriptures bear... That we're going to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. We're going to compare New Testament with Old. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. All right? Matthew chapter 1. Jacob had other sons, didn't he? Didn't mention them. Not in the generation of Jacob. Didn't mention them. He had other sons, but only one son was worth mentioning. Brother Henry, the rest of those boys were worthless. They were worthless. Sinners, rotten, no good bums is what they were. They hated Joseph. But he mentions Joseph, because Joseph's the only one worth mentioning. And the rest of those boys are going to owe their very existence to this brother of theirs. And they're going to say later on when it's all over, don't talk about us. Let's talk about Joseph. Look at Matthew 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of who? What's this book about? What's salvation about? Why was this thing written? Why is the bowl of dirt hanging in the sky? Jesus Christ. God has one son worth mentioning. And therefore you sons of Jacob are not going to be concerned. This is the book of the regeneration performed by Jesus Christ. And then it mentions all those sinners, Tamar and Rahab and Bathsheba and David and all those sinners in Him. Isn't this wonderful? All right, back to the text. Genesis 37. This is God's Word in the Henry. This is God's Word. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. I'm convinced now more than I have been in 30 years. All right? He was feeding the flock. Faithful shepherd. What was he doing? What was Joseph doing before there was any mention of it? He's a shepherd. Keeping the sheep. Our Lord. What was he doing before he came to this earth? Keeping the sheep. Feeding the flock. He always has. He's the great good chief shepherd. Feeding the flock with his brethren. And our Lord, when he came, he had some brethren who also fed the flock. All right? Now, look at verse 2. These are generations. He's feeding the flock. And he was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpah. Who are that? Who's that? Bilhah, Zilpah. These are women. Again, I like names like Mary and Jenny and Sherry. Easy to say. Henry, Joe, Beta, Methuselah. And them. Bilhah and Zilpah were these women, his father's wives. No, where are they? No. They were illegitimate handmaidens. Joseph was with these illegitimate sons and illegitimate women. He was numbered with, he was with these transgressors. Joseph, but John, was the real son, the only legitimate son at this time of Jacob. Remember? Rachel was his wife. Rachel had one son, Joseph. All right? Christ came down here. He was the only true Son of God. Only legitimate Son. Only begotten Son. The rest of us are just a bunch of... we're going to have to be adopted. Now, verse 3. Now, Israel, well, it says in verse 2, Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. He brought unto his father their evil report. Now, though God hath begotten many sons, yet Christ is the firstborn, true son, and he will have the preeminence. And verse 2 says, he was feeding the flock. Joseph was feeding the flock, and so was our Lord. And it says he brought an evil report back to his father. These sons are, they're rotten. They're no good. They're doing evil. That's what he did. He didn't come back and say, Dad, they're basically good boys. He didn't say, "Dad, they really do love you, and they love me, and they're trying their best, and
we need to just overlook the evil report. Nothing good about them." We're going to see in a minute just how bad they were. And our Lord, when our Lord came to this earth, why did He come? He came down here to reveal sin. He said, "If I hadn't come, you have no sin." Didn't it? "If I had not come and spoken unto thee, you would not have sin." They said, "Now they have no cloak for their sin. Now I have revealed unto them." And that's why everybody hated Him. That's why the sons of Adam hated Him. Holiness walked this planet. And there were a bunch of men and women who thought they were holy. And Christ said, "You're not holy. This is holiness." And they hated Him. He exposed their sin. You see that? All right, verse 3 says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children." Why? He was lovely. Oh, wait till we get into the story of this Joseph. Oh, he's lovely. He's altogether lovely. This whole story, you're going to fall in love with Joseph when you get through with this story. When it's all over and Joseph presents those boys to the king, you're going to love Joseph. Would to God somebody in here would fall in love. After hearing this story, Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons. Why? He deserved it. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only man ever lived worth loving, worth the love of God. God from heaven said it out loud twice. Well pleased for His righteousness. This is my well-beloved son. You better hear Him. I love him. More than all his children. God loves all of his children. Not all men and women, not all human beings. God doesn't love all human beings. No, sir. Ask Jacob. He'll tell you. He hated Esau. All right? But God does love His sons. He loves them all. He loves them all the same. God loves all of His people, all of His children, all believers. He loves them the same. But now wait. There is one son whom He loves more. And that's all right. Because He's worth loving. And the only reason He loves us is because we're in Him. God loves His son. Is that right? And now look, here's how He loved him. Verse 3. "Because he was the son of his old age." In other words, Jacob was an old man when he had Joseph. He was an old man when Joseph was born. That sound familiar? Every man in Scripture, it seems, is worth anything. Was born to a man of years. Samuel's dad, old man. Abraham, old man when Isaac was born. Elijah, John's son, old man. Listen to this. How does this speak of Christ? Well, it says in Proverbs 8... Our Lord, in Proverbs 8, speaking of Christ, it says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him." Before the world began, before there were any sons of Adam, any of these illegitimate sons, none of them worth loving, the
Son was with the Father, well beloved, and he loved him dearly. Didn't need any more boys.
Well, and he loved him, his son of his old age. Verse 3 says, and he made him a coat of many colors. Joseph, son, I love you. You're so lovely to me. You just make me proud, son. I love everything about you, son. I thank God for you. You're just the apple of my eye. Here I have something to give you, Joseph, as a token of my love for you, to distinguish my love for you above all of your brethren. Oh, no good, rotten sons. Here's a coat, Joseph, that I have made personally with my hands, a coat of many colors, gorgeous coat that I brought with my own hand. Wear this, Joseph. Wear it as a token of my love to you. Coat of many colors. Joseph's coat. What's that? Well, is there anybody in here who could not stand up and say what that is? The righteousness of Christ that distinguishes him above all sons of Adam. The glorious, multifaceted, multicolored personality and character of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got one character, John. See it! We wear one robe. But when the well-beloved Son of God walked this earth, what can you say about it? Let's describe him. He's beautiful. He's lovely. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's kind. He's compassionate. He's tender, he's sweet, he's gracious, he keep going. How many colors are there?
You say there's seven.
No. There are many facets of that.
We see seven basic colors.
Put them all together. Right? Here's an artist. What about all the variations of those colors?
His glories are unsearchable. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ's character that distinguishes him above all his brothers. Many colors.
Oh, I love that. Love that.
Made him a coat, many colors. Verse 4. Now, when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him.
And they couldn't say a kind word to him. They couldn't think of one good thing to say about him, boy. They couldn't think of one good thing to say about him. They hated him.
That's exactly what it says of the Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly. When he came down here, oh my. When he came down in John 8 and other places, they hated him without a cause. He, in John 6 through 10 or more, over, he kept telling them, I'm from above, you're from beneath. The Father loveth the Son, has committed all things into the Son's hand. I do always those things which please my Heavenly Father. Well, we're sons too. We're sons of God too. Who do you think? Well, I'm the well-beloved.
I hated him.
And they tried to say something. They couldn't say anything good about him. That's it. The carpenter's son. This Jesus. We know who you are. Couldn't say anything good about him. Well, verse 5. Now, Joseph dreamed a dream. He told it to his brethren. He prophesied unto them. He revealed to them what would be the will of God, didn't it? This, the dream that Joseph dreamed, we're going to see it in a second, was the will of God. It was going to happen. Brother Dan,
it was going to happen. And Joseph was the only one that knew it, and the only one who could reveal it. And he did, and it was concerning him. And they hated it. Now, isn't that a picture of Christ? Huh? They hated him. Well, here's the dream. Here's what the dream said. Verse 6. They said unto him, he said unto them, hear, I pray you. You have ears to hear. Now hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed. Behold, verse 7. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose. It got bigger. My sheaf arose. My sheaf got higher, was lifted up above all sheaves, and your sheaves bowed down, did obeisance to my sheaf. And verse 8, his brethren said unto him, I hear him now, while he's telling this, the veins are puffing out of his neck. Are you saying, and you see them, are you telling us that you're going to reign over us? Go with me. I'm trying to paint a picture here. Huh? This really happened. I mean, this really happened twice. Once to Joseph, once to Christ. Well, three times. We did it. We're all these sons when we heard the gospel. Some of you, when you heard the gospel, things started popping out on your neck. We're sons too. God doesn't love everybody. What are you talking about? He loves me. Yeah. God loves his son. Unless you're in him, he won't love you. Not like that. He's committed all things in the Son's hand, and every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee's going to bow to him and say, you're all, you're everything, you're everything, you're our everything. And we're nothing. Like I said, when this story's over, by the grace of God, by the grace of Joseph, by the merciful kindness, the tender, loving kindness of Joseph, these sons, later, bowed to him and said, oh, we don't mind bowing at all now. We just don't mind a bit. We just love you, Joseph. To think we never did. To think that we refused to love you. To think that we were something. We could have died. We should have died. Oh, Joseph. But now they top in the name. If you're going to reign over us, we will not have you reign over us. God loves us. The Father loves us. We have our free will. We're not in bondage to anybody. They hated him for his dreams, for his words. And like I said, this is a picture of Christ. My, my, my. The revealer of the Father. He said, I've come to reveal the Father. To reveal the will of the Father. This is the will of the Father. That everyone that seeth the Son. How, John Davis? How do we see the Son? Not just Jesus made a little lower than the angels. He did that to die. We see him now crowned with glory and honor. His sheath is high. They make mention that his name is above every name. Far be it fit for a bumper sticker, it's fit for the crown, the topstone. Take that name, the top of the Empire State Building. Put it down there. Put my name. Put all of our names down there in the dust and the muck and the mire. Put his name way up there. His sheep arose. His person stood upright. Stood upright. He's the only upright man that walked this planet. Upright. Upright. The rest of us been crawling around on all fours. And every tongue will confess, every knee will bow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it will. And Christ came to reveal this, and everybody hated him. They hated him for it. Who do you think you are? You're just a man. You're making yourself God.
No, no, no. I'm God. I made myself man.
There's a difference. I'm God. I made myself man. And you will bow to a man. But you won't see him as a man when you do. You see him as God. They saw Joseph. How'd they see Joseph later on? When they finally, he was obscured from their vision for a long time. He was dead and gone. Where was he? On the throne. What was the next time they saw him as? King. Their life in his hands. Isn't this the greatest story you ever heard, Nancy Fox? Us. We will not have the, wait just a minute.
God hath declared the decree. He is reigning right now.
Right now. Well, we hadn't made him Lord yet. Oh, wait, we just done that.
God already has. And doesn't care if you do or not.
Like the people back when our Lord walked this planet and said they were going to take him, make him king. You remember? A bunch of them, they were going to take him. They loved him. He was feeding them all. He was healing them all. He was backing down the religious tyrants, you know. They loved him for a while until they heard what he was saying. They want to take him and make him king, and he would not let them do that, did he? He hid himself. He will not let them take and make him king. Why? He already is king. Doesn't need their approbation. Doesn't need them to crown him. God already did before the world began. He's wearing a crown. Why would he want to wear that piece of tin? Why would the high sheriff want a piece of tin?
You reign over, shall thou indeed reign over us? Yes, ye shall indeed. And they hated him yet the more for his dream. Now, verse 9. Alright, look with verse 9. I'm going to hurry. He dreamed yet another dream. He spoke it once, yea, twice. And they didn't hear it. Well, he dreamed another dream and told it to his brethren. Behold, I have dreamed a dream. Behold, I've dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon. Not just sheaves of hay, wood, hay, and stuff, but the sun, the moon, the stars, the celestial planets, principalities and powers. It'll be a system. Oh, my. Colossians 1 says he's the head over all things. Principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness, they were even God bowed to the Son. Even God the Father bowed to the Son. Look at verse, it says in verse 10, he told it to his father and his brethren. His father rebuked him, said unto him, what is this dream you dream? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, hated him. But his father said this, but his father said,
He said it. And Joseph never lied. He's my beloved son, and I haven't found one sin in him. And if he said it, it's so. His father observed.
Perhaps I shall now. And God the Father. It says in Hebrews 1, verse 8, God the Father said unto the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever. Do you remember the story of David? David, when he was real old, and there was a fella trying to, who thought he was the rightful king and heir, remember? I forgot the fella's name. That's all right. Not worth remembering. Some fella thought he should have been king, one of these illegitimate sons of David. And he thought he was king, and David said, no, I've got one son. I've already made him king. Long time. Solomon, he's my son. And he said, to prove that I, the king, the father, have ordained but one son. I have one son, and he's heir of all things. He's king. To prove it, I'm going to bow to him. And it says, David bowed down and said, my king, to his own son. Isn't that a picture of Christ, huh? Well, he's not God, they say. He's just son of God. The Father said, Son, you're God. God wrote in His Word, unto us a child is born, a son is given. Call His name what? Father. Father. Father doesn't mind. Doesn't mind. Well, shall you indeed reign? I shall, indeed. And He told His Father that, and His Father observed the same thing, that everything is going to bow to it. Everything. Heaven, earth, everyone. About that. Well, verse 12 through 14, and I'll quit. It says, His brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, the father spoke unto the son, your brethren are down there in Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you unto them. And he said, here I am. I'll go. The father said to the son, your brethren are down there. They're out in the wilderness. Go to them. I'm going to send you some provisions for them by your hand. I want you to go, your brethren out there in the wilderness, and feed your brethren. Go. The son said, I'll go. Here I am. Here am I. I'll go. Verse 14, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, well with thy flock. Bring me word again. Go. Go see about them, what condition they're in. Do what's necessary for them, and come back. But he didn't come back. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He sent for his dad. His dad came to them. Where they lived forever. But he didn't come back. His dad thought he was dead. No, no. He never died. He never died, Sheriff. He never died. Something else died in his body. Well, he said, go to your brethren. This is a picture of Christ who, in agreement with the Father before the world began, the Father sent His well-beloved Son to seek the peace of His brethren, to make peace for them by the blood of His cross, to be made unto them all their righteousness, their King, their Lord, Lord over all flesh. In covenant agreement, God told the Son, go down. The state of my people is bad. Just like He told Moses, go down. They're sinning against me. You've got to give them these sacrifices. Tell them about the tabernacle. Only place of forgiveness. Go, son. Go take care of my son, other sons. They're rotten to the core. Go do what's necessary.
spare them. And he came. He sent guilt. I can't tell you how many times Christ said, He sent me. He sent me. The Father sent me. Read it for yourself. Dan, here's a good word study. Start reading in the Gospel of John. You pick a gospel with John and start just noticing where it says, Him had the Father sent. He sent me. He sent me. He sent to His brethren. To His brethren now, mind you. He wasn't sent to save the world, but His brethren. Those of the Father who He was sent to. See that? Go to my brethren, your brethren. Go to my son. Feed them. And so the Father sent the Son. He came to His own. And the rest of our story is, He came to them. They didn't receive Him. Did they? Came to His own. His own received Him not. They hated Him. They despised Him. And they laid hold on Him. And they would have killed Him. Tried to kill Him. And what a picture of Christ that is. And we're going to pick that up Wednesday night. The beloved Son slain. The beloved Son slain. But in that whole story, in this whole story, is a picture of God's will concerning Christ, concerning all of His sons. How that He set up one Savior, one Lord, one Provider, one Savior, one King. And they did all this for evil. They hated Him. But God determined before what was to be done, to put Joseph into Egypt to spare many lives. Put Joseph on the throne to spare these worthless sons. What a picture of Christ is here. Stay tuned. All right. Let's sing our closing hymn. What's there? Oh, we're going to sing. See if we can't sing number 16 again. Number 16. Our Lord said, I've declared the decree. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue confess. The Lord is King. Now, see if we can't sing this hymn a little more loudly. Lift up thy voice. Number 16. Let's sing.
Without the piano.